Malachi chapter 3. This is just a... So last week, we just finished up a study, our Sunday school hour with on the local church. What is the purpose of my involvement in a local church? And then we've seen what is the local church? What is the function of the local church? How do I function properly in the church body? How do I find the particular local church that God wants us to serve through? How am I related to other Christians? What are my responsibilities towards other Christians? What should be my attitude towards other Christians? What is fellowship? And then what if another Christian offends me? And these are some of the things we looked at through the lesson on the local church. Well, the next lesson we're looking at, and we're going to be in here for several weeks because it's pretty extensive, is the lesson on giving, and we're going to start in Malachi chapter 3, the very last book of the Old Testament, and we're going to start in verse 7 and run through verse 10. It says, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So this is the one of the main passages we use when we start dealing with the subject of giving. See, giving is an extremely controversial subject in Christianity, largely due to the severe pressures exerted on God's people to give to so many worthy causes. I mean, think about it. People, when they come to church, they have that mindset that all they do is ask for money. I've heard that before. But that's not true. There are some ministries like that. But this is perhaps one of the most misunderstood subjects in Christianity. This lesson that we're going to be dealing with here deals with the Christian's responsibility and stewardship of his life as well as his resources. So we're going to be looking at stewardship and the whole situation here dealing with our lives. It's not just dealing, when we talk about giving, the first thing that comes to our mind is money. But that's not the only thing that we give. There's more to it. So we're going to be looking at the whole vast variety of everything that deals with giving. Before you can properly understand the nature of the New Testament giving, you must understand one fact. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 24. Psalm 24. Psalm 24 and verse 1. This is a good scripture we should memorize. This is one fact that we need to get straight in our minds and realize the simple fact. In verse 1 it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." So if we understand that simple principle that everything belongs to God, then that helps us get on the right track for thinking about giving. When we explore why we should give, we'll see the purpose of giving and what God would have us to give and how much we should give and what our attitudes towards giving should be. These are some areas that we're going to be touching on. But the first thing we're going to be looking at today, and we're just going to get as far as the time allow us, and then we'll pick up not next week, but the week after. But the first thing we're going to see here is, why should I give? Why? We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, give you a moment to turn there. Please take the time to look at these scriptures and allow the Lord to speak to you through them. Because it's not about what I think or say, it's about what God says from His Word. And that's what we need to focus on, is we need to focus on what God has to say to us. Well, the first reason we should give, or why I should give, is Christians should give to honor God through obedience. It's to simply to honor God. Verse 9 and 10, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." See, the whole mindset, and this is what we need to think about, and it should surpass everything else, is we simply give to honor God. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And the word all means all. Everything that God blesses us with, we should be honoring Him with. "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." So why do we need to honor the God with our substance? Why do we need to honor Him with that? Is when's the last time that you had to think about your breath, taking a breath? God provides us with life. He gives us the strength to do what we do. He provides for our needs. He gives us the clothes on our back. He provides that. He gives us a house over our head. He gives us the abilities, the know-how of how to do stuff. I cannot tell you the abilities and the. I surprise myself sometimes of what God has allowed me to do, and what some of the things that He gives us the ability to do. Because sometimes I go into some jobs that we do, and I don't have a clue what's going on until I get there and start looking at things. And He helps us figure things out. But we need to honor the Lord. Why? Because He gives us everything that, I mean, we belong to Him. If you're claiming and professing to be a Christian, the Bible tells us that you do not belong to yourself. So everything that's, I've heard of people giving more than 10%, and we'll be dealing with that later. We give Him 10% of everything we make. That's nothing. But that being said, 10% of everything we make, if everybody truly did that, the church would never have a problem with finances. And that's the truth. Everything would be taken care of, because that's God's way of paying the bills. I mean, for the building, for the property. Thank God we don't have a payment. You know, our property's paid off, but it enables us to do that. So the first thing we do, we give because we want to honor God through obedience. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 15. "We should simply give because we are thankful for what God has first done for us." We should give because we are thankful for what God has done for us. And we see that, and there's several scriptures here that we can look at. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, it's actually, let's go back to verse 6. It says, "But this I say, how he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, and he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this administration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Not only does But we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for what God has first done for us. And what is that unspeakable gift? The gift of eternal life, salvation, trust in Christ. That's the unspeakable gift. For no other reason, we have no other reason but to be thankful for that gift, we should be honoring God out of obedience. But then we see here in the third thing we see, we should give to acknowledge God's ownership of all things. We're going to be turning to Psalm chapter 50. Psalm 50. Psalm chapter 50, verse starting in verse 10. It says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." See, God has really everything. He owns everything. And he says, if I was hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. We see also there in Psalm 104 in verse 24. It says, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." See, God has made everything. It says, "The earth is full of thy riches." And then we see in Psalm 115 and verse 15. We're just looking at a few passages. It says, "Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men." See, in the beginning, God created man, and then he created woman from the man. And what did he do? He gave man dominion over the earth. He gave him responsibility to take care and manage what was in the earth. See, he giveth, "You are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth, and the heaven and earth, and even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath given he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord." And so it's given to the children of men. And then the last one we're going to look at is Job chapter 41. Job 41. Just looking at the ownership of the whole earth, God owns. Chapter 41 of Job. In verse 11, it says, "Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine." Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. So we see there the third thing we looked at, we should give to acknowledge God's ownership of all things. God's ownership. We're going to be turning back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. We're actually going to start in verse 1 and then come down to verse 8 and read a little bit past it. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do to you, to wit, the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they are willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now, it's focusing on verse 5 here. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So one of the first things we need to do as Christians is give ourselves to the Lord. We need to surrender our wills to His will. You know how you tell the real picture about somebody? Is you take a big chunk of money and slap it in their hands and see what they do with it. See exactly where they go with it, because everybody responds differently. I know as a young man, there was a few times I had some pretty large chunks of money in my hand, and I went about foolishly. And I'm just speaking out of honesty. That was my younger years. But the Lord has worked on me over the years and got me to the point now where I see things a little more, or see things correctly. But a lot of people will get something and then they go out and just go crazy with it. But we need to be wise. We need to be stewards of what God has given us. And if we realize, if we get our priorities in order and realize that everything belongs to the Lord, we're going to treat it differently. We're going to treat things differently. We're going to act differently. But we see here, in verse 6, it says, "Insomuch that we desired Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and all and your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to go be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that what he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack." And it kind of goes back, if we go back to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, it kind of relates to this situation here, where he talks about, look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and praised God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Everybody's need was met and taken care of. There was nobody that had too much. There was nobody that had a lack. So therefore, when we're living obedient to God, He takes care of those things. He takes care of those things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9... we're going to see there in verse 6 through 8. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." The Bible simply says that you'll reap what you sow. So however you want to give, that's it's your business between you and God. But he says there in verse 7, it says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." So, He loves a cheerful giver. So, giving proves the sincerity of our love for God. It proves the sincerity of our love for God. But then we see that giving develops in us some attributes of God. It develops in us some attributes of God. What do I mean by that? Let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3, 16. This is a very well-known verse. It's probably the most common verse in the whole Bible. A lot of people know it all over the world. But it simply says, "For God so loved the world, he did what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When you truly love someone, then you're going to give. He develops in us some attributes of God. Well, it's giving. Then we see also see 1 John 4, 9. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Because he loved us, he took action. He sent his only begotten Son. So it develops the aspect of giving in our lives, the character, the attribute of giving. God was the first to give. He gave first. But not only there, but it develops in us another attribute, and that's grace. And that's grace. And we read a couple of those passages. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And see, God always provides for each and every person when you're one of his. But he also provides the ability to do something, and he'll always provide the means to do it when he asks us to do something. So giving affords us, or develops in us, an attribute, the attribute of God. It's grace. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." See, we're to not, God has showed forth his grace towards us. He gives us something that we don't deserve. Well, we need to extend that to the next person. The whole purpose of us getting saved, first of all, is to reestablish that relationship between us and God, to reconcile us to him so he can have fellowship with us. But he desires us to go out and share that truth with other people, what he's done in our lives. So we need to show forth that grace to others as God has showed us. Just like we looked at last week, when a person in the body of Christ offends us, we're to forgive them 70 times 7. It's supposed to always be, because why? Because God always forgives us, and he forgave us first. So therefore, we need to extend that grace that he showed us. We need to share our testimony of what God has done in our life with other people so they can come to God too and see and experience that grace that he gives. So we see there it develops in us some attributes, the giving and grace. Giving affords us the opportunity to make eternal investments. It's not just about the means. And we've seen that we need to first give of ourselves, give ourselves personally. I heard a story one time. There was a little kid in a service, and they were taking up the offering. And the guy stopped by, and the kid wanted to put something in the offering plate. And he asked the guy, "Can you lower the plate a little lower?" And then he asked him again to lower it a little lower. Before he knew it, it was sitting on the ground. And that little kid stepped inside of it. He said he wanted to give himself. That's a picture of what we ought to be, is to be willing to give of ourselves first. Because if our heart is right, if our relationship is right with God first, everything that follows it will happen, will be in right aspect. Just the same as the triangle, when you have a man and a wife and you have God at the top, the closer we draw to God, the closer we draw to each other. That's a good picture. It affords the opportunity to make eternal investments. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17. Philippians 4 and verse 17. It says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, it's the purpose of us giving. It's just like we had an evangelist here. Well, it was 2 weeks ago now. Has it been that long? This is the second Sunday. Yeah, this Sunday, two Sundays ago. And we're expected as God's people to take care of God's man. Each time we bring somebody in, as the body of Christ, we're to take care of the pastor and all those. That's the way God intended it. And what Paul says here, it's not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When we're doing what God tells us to do according to his word, then God's going to bless us. Not only is he going to bless us here, but it's adding to our account that we're building in heaven. Because one day when we stand before Christ, and we can look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers, and we're going to be judged based on what we've done. And only what's going to last is what we've done for Christ. And there's a comparison of wood, hay, and stubble, and there's precious stones, gold, silver, and precious stones. And what do you think is going to last through the fire when it's purged? It's the gold, silver, and precious stones. It's going to purify them more. And only what's done for Christ will last. See, giving affords us the opportunity to make eternal investments. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew 6. It says, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do you treasure most? Are we treasuring what's here on earth, which is temporal, which one day when we pass off the scene physically, it's going to be all gone, and it's going to be like a bunch of vultures come in and they pick off it and take what they want because they're the... That's what I feel like sometimes when we go to estate sales. Somebody passes away and then everybody's just there to get what they can get and buy what they can buy, and they just take... So think about it. We're so busy, and I'm number one guilty of having things and stuff. We're collecting so much stuff here on this earth, and guess what? If we die tomorrow, what does it matter? It means nothing. It's not. We came into this world naked, the Bible tells us. Guess what? We're going out naked. That's the way it is. But yet, we the time we're on this earth, we get so wrapped up into things. And if we don't have our priorities in order and putting God first, we're going to miss out on the opportunity to make eternal investments. We're going to miss out on the opportunity to win people to Christ when we're so busy trying to obtain and make our own. What happened to that rich man who was blessed and he kept on building bigger barns and bigger barns and bigger barns, and God says, thou fool, thy soul. He required his soul that day. He died. And what happened to all this stuff? Never says, but I'm assuming other people got it. He would not share with anybody. But the problem, we miss out on the opportunity to make eternal investments. There is nothing more important than for us to invest our time in other people, to invest our time trying to win others to Christ, because that's what's going to last for eternity. Giving procures God's blessing on our personal finances. We cannot outgive God. We've seen that in Malachi chapter 3. Where hath a man robbed God? In tithes and offerings. He says, try me. Be obedient. Do. Give as I ask you to do. And guess he says, I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing so big you won't be able to contain it. If we could just get that through our heads. Sometimes I understand things get tough and hard when we have bills come in, but if we would always keep God and put Him first, God will bless us. He will. Trust me, I've been there where I've waited till the last minute to pay my tithes. I paid all my bills, and guess what? I didn't have enough to pay my tithe, and I paid for it. God will get it out of your flesh one way or the other. I've heard of people that don't pay their tithes, and guess what? Their car breaks down. Something else happens. And I truly believe, now I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying if you pay your tithes like you're supposed to and you do everything as you're supposed to, nothing will ever go wrong. That's not true either. But I'm saying we're less likely to have issues when our heart is right and our focus is right and we're putting God first. Give God a chance to bless you. And He will. Now, He's not obligated, but He says, give me a chance to show you that you're not going to outgive me. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in other people's life. It's true. It rings true what the Scripture says. It procures God's blessings on our personal finances. He blesses us. He allows things to... There's things in our life... It's not always... He don't always write a check and send it in the mail to us. But He might make something last longer. Maybe a pair of shoes you're wearing. It'll last longer. Clothes that you wear may not wear out as fast. The food might last longer that's in your cupboard. There's many ways God blesses. Yes, sir.
I noticed that even though we do have breakdowns and problems, they're manageable. The Lord takes care of them.
Absolutely.
When you see other people, they don't. They get overwhelmed. He don't overwhelm us. We do have problems, but He helps us through it.
Exactly. He provides. And unique, and I'm sure many people have testimony of what God has done. When they've always give like they should have. And God always makes a way to provide for that need, even though we have a breakdown. But again, it's just an opportunity for God to get us to focus back on Him and realize that He supplies our needs. He takes care of our needs. The Bible says there in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you put Him first and you live right, you're obedient, He says, all these things shall be added unto you. God will provide your needs. He will take care of your needs. He doesn't promise us our wants, but He promises us that He's going to provide for our needs. We're going to always have. See, the Bible also tells us, let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And this is a man that was considered a man after God's own heart. David. Psalm 37 and verse 25, it says, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of His own. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Bible does tell us in Hebrews chapter 13, not only is the verse 8, I believe it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but He also says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. God is going to supply for us. See, God's overriding principle for any investment, whether it be family or finances, or whether it be soul winning or service, the more I invest, the greater will be my return. That stands true with everything. You get out of something what you put into it. They always tell us, and they joke when we are in class and we're taking a test. And if we don't take time to prepare for that test, you only get on that test what you deserve because you never prepared for it. But if we take the time to invest, that goes for our family. If we have children, that goes for them. You know, spending time with them and doing things with them. If we have, you know, relationships in general. If we don't take time for those relationships, if we don't show ourselves friendly, how do we expect ourselves to have friends? If you're not investing in people's lives, then you can't get nothing back. But if you're out investing in people's lives and you're showing forth that you care about them, guess what? You're going to have great return. And that's the same thing with giving. So family and finances, soul winning, service. The more I invest, the greater will be my return. We just got to keep that in mind. So hopefully we look at this. Why should I give? Why? Well, first of all, to honor God. Second of all, because we're thankful for what God has first done for us. Thirdly, we see we should give to acknowledge God's ownership of all things. If we realize that God owns everything, everything we have is just simply entrusted to us, and what kind of steward are we being with it? Giving proves our sincerity of our love for God. And giving develops in us some attributes of God, which is giving and grace. Giving affords us the opportunity to make eternal investments, which is important. Because we don't want to invest in everything in this earth and then we have nothing when we stand before Christ. We will be ashamed and we'll have nothing. It says there in 1 Corinthians, let's just read that real quick. We're just about to close, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 11, says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Jesus is the foundation. "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built up thereupon, he shall receive a reward." See, everything we do in this body as Christians, it's going to be tested to whether what kind of work it was. And if it's tested and it's proved and it comes through the fire, then we're going to receive a reward for that. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Thank God, when he saves us, it's for eternity. It's salvation is we can never lose our salvation once you've trusted Christ. And truly are saved, you cannot lose what he has given. What he has paid for, he does the keeping. He saves you, he does the keeping, and then he comes back for us one day. But we see there that it affords an opportunity for internal investments. Giving procures God's blessing on our personal finances. We cannot outgive God. And then it's very important that we spend time investing for eternity. Because one day, everything on this earth is going to mean nothing besides of what we've done for Christ. Why should I give? That's why. We give you many, many reasons from the scriptures. The next thing we're going to look at 2 weeks from now, because we have a missionary next weekend, is what is the purpose for giving? What is the purpose? We're going to look at that. So just to give you something to think about. But why should I give? See, if we go to the scriptures and we see what God says about it, then it's our obligation as Christians to do so. We need to take what God has said. It's not about what Larry thinks or says. It's about what God says. That's what we need to be obedient to. Why should I give? First of all, we need to do it because we need to honor God. We need to realize that he owns everything. And when you realize that, you realize nothing you have is yours. It belongs to him. You've been entrusted. You start getting your priorities in order and putting him first. Let's pray.